Amen. God bless you. Amen. Glad you're here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said earlier, I thought it was going to be a sunny day out there today, but I got up early.
We got two more days of March,
rest of this day and tomorrow, and it come in like a line, and I believe it's going to go out like a line, too. Now, last year, March was calm. March was warm all last year. But then in April, it became winter again. Wind blowing and everything like that. But, all right. Well, I tell you, we just need to thank the Lord for his many blessings upon us. How many this week have felt the blessings of the Lord? Has God blessed you this week? All right, and I'm going to ask you a question now. How many of you feel like that you have blessed the Lord in some way? You know, that's a two-way street, and I believe, you know, I believe his word teaches us also, and I know I've said it time and time again out here, but, you know, in church, but I still believe it, that the Lord Jesus Christ, before he can bless his children, I believe he wants a blessing from his children to know that, to let him know that they still trust him. They still believe in him. And you know, the day and time that we're living in, we don't, you know, everybody out here, everybody you come in contact with today, they're saved. Everybody you come in contact with, you go to church? Yeah, I go to church, I'm saved. But why is the church struggling today? Well, I mean, not just here, but all the churches are struggling. Why? Because the people are not in the house of the Lord. But, you know, until he comes back, we've got to continue doing what he's asked us to do and what he expects of his children. And he expects his children to be faithful unto him. And we need not to forsake the assembling of the Lord. And I've told people before, I said, I know we can leave right here in this church and we can go right straight out there in the middle of 58. And as long as you've got more than one or two people like that, you can have fellowship. I know that. But God ordained the church. That's where we're supposed to assemble together. God is number one. That's the first ordinance. Then God ordained the family. And then God ordained the church. And that's where people need to put it. We need to put it in that order. And if we ever grasp that and we ever get the people to grasp it today, then it won't be no trouble in them coming to church. Because they have everything in order then. And it won't be that they forsaking God or they forsaking the family. They're not forsaking nobody. They're just doing what God's asked them to do. Turn to you into John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I'm not going to be preaching on the first part of it, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to be preaching when he was on the cross or nothing like that. But where I'm going to start at today, I'm going to start reading with verse 15. down through 29 this morning, and I want you to pray for me. Just going to try to go by some thoughts the Lord had given me this week, and studying and looking over scripture and everything. But I believe it's a whole lot right here that we can see in the last part of this chapter that maybe we, you know, maybe you haven't seen it before, and it's been a while since I've even read it or even studied this part of the chapter. But it's some good thoughts in it, and it's biblical for today. It's just as much biblical for today as it was back then. This book that I hold before you is an update. This is the newspaper that we should be reading, because this one is up to date. It's more up to date than any other. On the World Wide Web, the internet, I mean, now you can have this instant from overseas. It don't take a day, and you don't have to wait till 6 o'clock or 11 o'clock to get the news on TV to see what happened overseas. You can have it just like that. This is better than that. This right here was written way back when. Way back. And after he allowed over 40 different individuals to pin down the Word of God that he gave them through the power of the Holy Spirit, then he took the words that he had and he stored them in heaven. And I tell people all the time, I say, you're not going to be judged out of your Bible, and I'm not going to be judged out of mine, but I'm going to be judged out of his. Because he's going to call for that book. And when he calls for that book, that means judgment is coming down on us and what we've done since we've been a Christian. We're going to have to give an account. But it's just up to date more than it ever has before. This Bible right here, you can pick out some in it, and you can read it, and you can study it, and you'll come to find out. That just happened the other day. Over in Matthew chapter 24, you can read the book of chapter there. It's just as much up to date as ever has been. And these, what we read, we need to take it in the day and the time, the context it was written in, but we can apply it today. We don't have to just apply it to back then, but we can apply it to our Christian walk today. And I just want to bring you a message on the thought of not forsaking the house of the Lord. Anytime, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I know it ain't but a few of us here, and I don't know why the Lord laid this on my heart, but this is exactly what he wants me to do today. So, you know, I think it's something we can all get out of here that's good, we've never seen before. But here I'm going to start reading verse 15. And it says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast bore him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had said to the Lord, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whomsoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came to Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he, Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that we have, Father. I know to us, Lord, it may look dreary outside because of its raining. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you are the bright and the shining star that we can look to. And Father, you are the sunshine that we can feel in our heart and our soul today. Not only the S-U-N sunshine, but you are also the S-O-N that shines within us, Father, and can shine through us into a dark and cloudy and discouraging world, Father. So, Father, today we pray, Lord Jesus, that thy words that is upon thy lips today, that they may drop from thy lips and to drop upon my lips today, that I may not speak this morning, Father, but the Holy Spirit will speak through me. And so, Father, we can learn something a little more about thy precious word. We can be encouraged as your children. Because, Father, I know that we're living in discouraging days. But Father, we don't have to. And Lord, I pray that you just bless each one that's come out today. And Father, for the ones that even thought about coming today but didn't even come, I do not know where they're at, do not who they are, do not know their name. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, you know exactly where they're at this very moment. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would just release the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of them. That the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to their hearts and let them know that they should have been in church today. And Father, we pray, Lord, for the ones that has been here in the past. And Father, this members and have just walked away, Father, in discouragement. Or maybe in bitterness. I don't know, Father. But Lord, you do. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just speak to them in that small, still voice. And just let them know, Father, that you still love them. And you would love to see them back here at Faith Baptist Church, Father. Father, we're coming to thee this morning by faith, and trusting you to do what you can do. And Father, if we get in the way, Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll just take and you'll just lift me up and set me to the side, Father. Father, where you can just go before me. Father, because I don't want to be in the way of your work. I want to follow thee. Help us all to follow thee. Help us all, Father, to be a witness this week, to tell someone else about the love of God. Invite someone else to church. If it's just a church worker, somebody we may meet at the grocery store, or even at the beauty parlor, or wherever, drugstore, wherever, Father. All we have to do is just, if we see someone, just invite them to church. And if they say, we go to church, and if they tell you where they go, or whatever, Father, but if as long as they ain't in church, Father, I do not want to go out here and say that we, as Faith Baptist Church, are proselyting people and getting other people from other churches, Father. So, Father, we just want to thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. You know, I've been aiming to say something for the last couple or three weeks about it, but what I like to see, and you know, and I know, and don't say, and don't be discouraged by saying, well, you know, I've invited people and they won't come, you know, they never have come before and everything. I'd like to have a friends day. You know, whether I'm back here or not, or you know, whatever y'all want, but I think it's good that we can just go out and we can have a friends day where you can invite your friends, because I know we all have friends that's not in church. Right? We can invite, just tell them we're having friends day. And at the end of the service, I'm going to discuss it and what day that y'all would like to have it, towards the end of the month or whenever. And I'm going to give away a book for the one that brings the most. You say, oh, no, that's gimmicks. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. God's word says we must go and compel them to come in. That word compel means that we must go and do what we have to do. to get them to be in church, to get them under the gospel. We must do what we have to do. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change and go to NIV. I can go invite somebody to come to church for Friends Day, and they say, "Well, what do you preach from? You preach from the NIV?" I said, "Nope, sure don't." They said, "Well, I ain't coming." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to forsake God. I'm going to stick with the King James." Like I told Brother Bill before, I said, "You can go out here and you can give them a hot dog. You can get them in the church with a hot dog. But then just as soon as the church has a hamburger, I hear, then they can get them for the hamburger. So what have you got? You got people just want stuff. But we need to do, I got a book at the house I got in mind I want to give you. But for the one that brings the most, and what day y'all said, and I'm not going to say it for next week, I think we need to have a little time where y'all can invite. We need to try something when, the Lord spoke to me about it. So, but here in what I've read today, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's already been crucified, he's already been buried. Now, he has rose from the dead, but he hasn't left. He hasn't really gone home to stay there in heaven. He went home, but it also says there also in the Word of God says he did not sit down. And any time that an individual that where God is speaking to, and God is speaking to the individual to stand, that means that God has something else for them to do. God the Father knew there in heaven. He knew what these disciples was discussing in the upper room. He knew that they was disheartened. He knew that they was discouraged. He knew that they was troubled on every hand. Why? Because they didn't have their leader anymore. They didn't have somebody telling them which way to go and what to do. People today, and don't get me wrong with what I'm about ready to say, please don't. But you got some people out here that can't do anything without having somebody else to tell them what to do and to lead them in the way to go. That's either on a job, or I hear just doing something else, or even in church. I mean, we are that minded, like, we don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart, per se. But here we can see in verse 19, it's speaking about sweet fellowship. The fellowship that we can have when we assemble together in God's house. When we assemble together with one another is like faith. And knowing that what we're going to be studying today or what people going to say, we don't have to worry about it. The people's going to say, "Well, I don't know what they're going to say today. You know, I don't know what they've been watching." You know, we need to get them grounded in the Word of God. We need to get them grounded in the Word of God. And I believe this with all my heart and all my soul. The reason a whole lot of people is not grounded in God's Word and they're not granted to the point that they'll be in church every service unless they're hindered by working or by being in the hospital or sickness or the bodies at Renier's or Swice Good or somewhere like that. When he gets saved, we don't need just take the Roman road and lead them to the Lord. Yeah, they can get saved and they saved for eternity. But we don't need to just stop right there. The way that they can have the sweet fellowship that we can have one with another is not to only ask him to be the savior of the life, but they need to ask him to be the Lord of the life. I know I've said that before. I'll say it again probably. They don't tell you how many different times. But we need to emphasize that people need to ask the Lord, Lord, be the Lord of my life. If he wasn't the Lord of my life, ain't no telling where I'd be at. You know why? Because I would be trusting and putting my hope on what other people are saying. And that's a problem today. People are putting their trust and the faith in what somebody else out here is saying, or different from a different denomination altogether, or whatever. I mean, I don't understand how people can allow the children to miss a Wednesday night service because they don't have a bunch of teenagers or a bunch of children in the church that their parents would allow them to leave, and their parents won't allow them just to leave. The parents will get in their own automobile and take them to another church where the doctrine is completely different. And the preacher told me, he said, I can't understand that either. I said, well, just hold back. Just leave it alone right now. I said, you ain't got to go to the parents and say nothing. You ain't got to go to the children and say nothing. If they've been grounded here, and I believe they have, as soon as it comes out where they're going on Wednesday night, for the children that have the Bible study and stuff like that and all that, it's going to finally come out. And when it comes out, they're going to know it. And then they're going to go home, they're going to tell their parents. Where the blame lies is on the parents. But the children kept on going on Wednesday night until they finally come out. And the teacher that was teaching over the young people, the teenagers, even the smaller than that, was up there teaching, reading the Bible and everything. And all of a sudden it started speaking in tongues. And they come back to church and they asked the pastor, says, they're the ones speaking Wednesday night, and I ain't know what they're saying. I don't know where they're from. I thought they're from the United States. It sounded like they're from overseas. I didn't know anything that they were saying. He said, what they call that speaking in tongues. But it's not the same as what Peter's talking about over there in the book of Acts. It's not about that. It's not the unknown tongue. And it's not about the cloven tongue of fire. But see, they had to learn on their own. And we have to learn things on our own, before we can really be grounded. And once you're grounded, you won't be grounded on no 110. You ain't gonna be grounded on no 220. You ain't gonna be grounded on 1500 volts. You're gonna be so grounded that nobody can ever pull you from your position that the Lord has put you in, because your roots is going to go so deep into the earth and so deep around you that nobody can move you. The sweet fellowship is where Jesus speaks about. And he said, where there was a symbol, were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. That's the reason that the disciples had gathered in the upper room there. It's because they was fearful of their own life. It doesn't say that, but they was fearful of their own life. Why? They were scared, the same individuals. Now this is what they was thinking. They was thinking the same individuals that took Jesus' life, took the Messiah's life, that took their followers, their leader's life, was going to come and take their life. But see, what they failed to, when they failed on it, what they failed to forget was when Jesus was telling them that no one will take my life. I will give my life up freely. No one can take my life. And he said no one, even God the Father, couldn't take his life. Jesus Christ gave his life freely. Who did he give it freely for? For me and you. To where we could escape the penalties and the death of hell. Hell is real. It's not no figment of somebody's imagination. It's real. And one day that we're gonna stand there before God at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's gonna call for that book. That B-O-O-K. He's gonna call for that one book that has every Christian's name written there. And when he calls for that book, he gonna say, Donnie, I remember back in November 2011, I asked you to go and visit somebody. Donnie, you didn't do it. And I come up with all excuses I want, but no excuse is going to satisfy him. No excuse. We can tell him, well, I was on a job working. We can tell him that we was doing this. We do have times where we can get away from what we was doing, even on a job. Want to get off a job, we need to go to him. Brother Roy Newton told me this, and I know he's been down here a couple times, and I don't know, he may mention it to y'all, I don't know. But he was telling me when he come back from service, he went to work there in Dan River. And he was on the third shift. And I forgot what department. It was up Schofield, I believe it was. Or Riverside. I don't know what. But he said the Lord spoke to him when he went to work up there. He says, there's a vineyard, here's a vineyard here. You don't have to go around quoting scripture. You don't have to go out here and bugging them or worrying them to death like some do. Just go in there and just say hi to them. Be familiar with them. Let them know that you want to be a friend to them. And he said, then after they feel like that they can just come up and they just, you know, maybe could start a conversation with you, then you can, next time maybe you can start a conversation and you can talk about church. So one Friday night, the end of second shift at 11 o'clock, he was coming in. He was coming in at 12. And his shift was supposed to end at 12 midnight on second shift. So he was there for about an hour. And then it was a young boy come up. He said he probably won't no more than 20, 21, 22 years old. Come up there where that was all at and everything. Just sitting there waiting for the time clock to strike 12. He said he got to talking to him. Got to tell him about the Lord, how good the Lord's been to him. And he asked the boy, he says, he called him by his name and he says, are you saved? The boy says, no. He says, no, I'm not. I don't go to church nowhere. He says, I'm just 21, 22. I'm still young. I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time. I got time enough where I can go ahead and I can sow my wild oats. And he left that night at 12 o'clock. Going home to Roxborough. But he picked up a lady. And they was going home. They got right down here. At the Milton Bridge, right down here. When you turn to Coastal Light, go down. Right before you get on North Carolina, where the bridge is there. He come down through there. Just a flying and all of a sudden, he just went through the rails, went over in the water. Both of them drowned it. And it was back in the 40s. Monday morning come, and one of the other workers there said, and he asked him, he said, well, Brother Roy, did you hear about so-and-so? He said, no. He said, you know, I'm hoping they'll see me. See, I won't talk to him again and get a chance. He said, he left here Friday night. Going home. Him and this lady. Going down to Milton. To Roxborough. Something happened. And he went through the rails. And he drowned. That's how quick God can take us out of here. And my prayer is, now, a whole lot of individuals don't believe in these deathbed confessions or these last minute confessions, but God's word says all you have to do is just breathe the prayer. You don't have to say it. All you have to do is breathe it. Before he drowned, while he was going down in the water, my prayer is that God give him just enough time to say, Lord, save me. We don't know. There's a whole lot of people in that same situation. They don't understand why. But also in verse 19, you have a sweet fellowship. We see where they saw Jesus. You see the benediction there where it says, peace be unto you. Then in verse 20, it's speaking about the revelation of his coming. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 22, we see right here the Great Commission. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The Great Commission. He had seen them in such a way that he had not only was just there, and they just didn't only see him in his bodily resurrection form, but it also the experience of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that breathed on them. Unless the Holy Spirit comes, unless the Holy Spirit breathes on me or breathes on you each and every day, we can do nothing. Because he is the one that sustains us. He is the one that gives us his strength. He is the one that tells me when I do wrong. He's the one that tells me when I do right. And we can also know that we've done right and what God does for us. And what God does for us, we can know that we've done something right. I go around all the time and I hear people say, I wish the old devil would get off my back. He's been on my back all week. I said, well, you better be thankful the good Lord the devil's been on your back all week. Because if the devil hadn't been on your back all week, you'd be working for him some of the week. Only way he's going to get on your back, if you're doing something for God. That's how he gets his people. That's how he gets his people to follow him. It's through the Christians. Because he has the world right here. He has the billboard signs right here. He has a TV tube. He has the world right here that takes them to sweeps them up by the millions every day. But if he can get one of us down, somebody go around and say, well, I've been knowing Brother Bill for a long time. He's stood a test for a long time. But you know, don't know what's happening right now, but he ain't standing in a test right now. See, they see us. They see the wrong that we do. They don't see the right things that we do. They look at the wrong thing because we may do. You have 168 hours during the week, and you out of 168 hours, you might serve 167 and a half hours, and you give all of them hours to the Lord. But the devil sneaks into your mind and on you for one half an hour. And it may not be a complete half hour. It may be 5 minutes here. It may be 10 minutes there. 5 minutes, maybe 1 or 2 minutes there. What do people look at? They'll look at all the good you've done and who you're really serving. They're looking at that few minutes that you just got away from God. And then they'll say, well, shoot, I mean, if you're going to be a Christian, can't you be a Christian 168 hours out of a week? Can't you be a Christian all the time? Well, yeah. We haven't come to that place to where we can say that we are perfect. Because there has never been but one perfect, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Paul, after Paul got saved, and Paul was one of the greatest preachers that has ever put 2 feet upon this earth, besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could not live it perfect. But he said he was striving daily for perfection. He was striving daily for maturity. What does maturity mean in the Word of God? What does it really mean? It means that we're striving for perfection. One day, it's just as soon as Jesus Christ steps out on the cloud and he turns to his side and says, Gabriel, you go and blow the trumpet now. As soon as he puts it, he's already got his mouth up to the part where he blows through. Already up there. I'll tell you how close I believe it is. I believe he's an already licked either his upper or lower lips. Because if you watch any trumpet player, the people that plays all the other instruments that have to blow into, they'll always wet their lips. I believe he done wet. He's got one lip already wet. And I'll tell you how close I believe it is for the return of the Lord. I believe he's got the tongue already. And he's getting ready to lick that bottom lip. And then he's going to blow it. And as soon as he blows it, I'm gone. You gone. We're not going to be here. That is right then, at that very moment, is when we're going to have perfection. We're going to be just like Jesus. The only difference between me and Jesus, and the Bible is clear on this, he's the only one that's going to be with scarred body. I'm not going to have a scar on my body. But he's going to have his nail prints. And whether it be him and all that. That's the way we're going to recognize him. The Great Commission. Verse 25 is having faith. Having our faith built up. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This is Thomas. This is how Thomas got his nickname, Doubting Thomas. Because Thomas doubted the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, unless I put my finger in the nail print of your hands and your feet, and I can take my hand and thrust it into your side where that sword went out and pierced your side. And if I cannot do that, I will not believe. But then he went on and said, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe him. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. It took Thomas to see the Lord before Thomas could believe. That was for Thomas. That was for him. But the latter part of it is for us. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He didn't say anything about Thomas being blessed. Thomas doubted. So if then Thomas doubting, Thomas really won't blessed because he was able to put his finger in the palm of his hands and thrust his hand in his side. He was blessed in what Jesus done for him is the only reason. But for us, blessed are they that have not seen. We haven't seen him. Have you seen the Lord? I haven't seen him. I've seen him with my spiritual eyesight, but I haven't seen the Lord. But he blessed me. Why? Because I have faith in the Word of God. That's the reason he's blessed me. It's by the Word of God. You know, and we need to remember that anytime we miss a service, and I'm thankful all of y'all have been here. I know it's not many, but you've been faithful to the church. While I've been here, you've been faithful to the church down through the years, I can tell you. I can tell it within your voice. God honors that. And God is going to richly bless you and this church. Don't ask me when, but it's going to be when you least expect it. So we need to get our minds off of the past. So get our minds off of what happened last month or last year or the year before where people got maybe had a feeling on their shoulder and it kind of got knocked off and they just got out of church and left the church and whatever. Just let's forget it. Let's start new. Say, Lord, from this day forward, we're waiting on you to allow us to do what you want us to do. And if he don't allow us, we can't do it. We need to let him know when he least expect it, when we least expect it, when you least expect it. Then the next thing you know, God's going to start pouring his blessings out. How? I have no idea. When? I have no idea. But it says right here, it says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed in faith.
Blessed. He blesses his people. Just believe. The word of God says, he
I mean, he'd done it so, in such a way that I knew if I stayed right in it, that I was so scared and I was so fearful that I was going to mess it up, that I was going to be in trouble. So I said, Lord, just put me out of the way, just go in and move with you, whatever you got there, you do it. But you're doing a good job now, and I don't want to get in the middle of it.
Sing a couple of verses of Just As I Am, 249. 249. Tonight, like I said earlier, we'll try to meet inside here. I know everybody's anxious to see. stay in the sanctuary, so we'll be here tonight at prayer time about 20 minutes before service time, about 20 minutes to 5. All right. God bless you. Have a good afternoon.